Let's read the whole psalm. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like the pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. May the Lord bless the very reading of his word. My heart has really been drawn to these verses here, verses 6 and 7, where the psalmist compares himself to three different types of fowl, three different birds. I remember all these camping trips that we would go on when we were young. And almost every big campground, they would have these animal shows. And the one that I always liked the most, it was called the Birds of Prey. They had these huge falcons or hawks. And so I wanted to entitle my message, The Birds of Prayer, but I thought that might be a little bit too cutish there. So we went with a biblical title from another psalm, Flee as a Bird. And we have that wonderful hymn. We'll sing it at the end of service, Lord willing. Flee as a bird. But it was just very unique to me, the way that the psalmist compares himself to these different types of birds. And I hope that we can bring out some truth that will be a blessing in all of our lives. Just want to flip quickly back to Psalm 11, where we have this expression, because I think that we see this in the psalmist in Psalm 102, the Psalm of the Silver Lining. That he says, I feel like these birds that are alone. these birds that are in lonely places, these birds that look like they're just, without any protection at all. But the psalmist says in Psalm 11, in the Lord put I my trust. So he says, well, so then how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? It's more of a question, right? Flee as a bird to your mountain. Why would I do that when I have put all my trust, all my hope in the Lord? And that's the right perspective. That's the right way to be thinking, is how that psalm begins. But let's just be honest. When affliction comes, when times of loneliness come, when times of depression come, when things aren't the way that they should be in our hearts or in our lives, it's very hard. Like the disciples, they had the master of sea and skies on their ship, but instead of having their mind stayed on him and their trust in him, their eyes were on the storms and the waves of life. And we get that way, and we have to remember that it's in God that we must put our trust, that he's greater than all of our circumstances or our conditions. But it is true that oftentimes God's people have felt like the speckled bird in this world. And so we just want to go through these and look at each one. The first one that he says in verse 6, he says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. Just want you to go back up to the top of the psalm, and I want you to highlight or underline in that kind of that title section. And this is why I said the birds of prayer, right? The prayer of the afflicted, underline that. When he is overwhelmed, underline that. And poureth out his complaint, underline that. And we see these being set forth in each of these three types of birds that he compares himself. First, he says, I am like a pelican in the wilderness, like a pelican in the wilderness of affliction. Now, this pelican is not like a pelican that we would think of that would live close by the ocean. This was a pelican of the wilderness. It was a different type of bird. And it was a bird that was known to seek very forlorn places. It is a bird that was characterized by its aloofness. And we find that tendency in all of us, don't we? When things aren't right, the people would say, just leave me alone, right? I just want to be left alone. When we lose somebody that's close to us, and then we go around a crowd of people, everybody wants to ask us, well, how are you doing? You know, and we kind of don't want to face that loss. We don't want to have to deal with it. We don't want to have to talk about it. And sometimes we feel this way in this world. God's people do that we're in a wilderness. We studied the whole book of Exodus. That wasn't anything new. It's not anything new for the people of God, right? They had their wilderness wanderings. We know that our great Savior, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, right after his baptism, he was taken by the Spirit into the what? Into the wilderness, and he was afflicted. He was tempted by the devil. And so this is a part of our experience in this world, and we feel this way sometimes, like a pelican in the wilderness. But, beloved, isn't it wonderful that the hard times in our lives are often when God chooses to be the nearest? Amen. It's the hard times. It's when we feel like a pelican in the wilderness of affliction. When we feel like, you know, even my close friend doesn't want to be around me. The scriptures would say in another place, even if a father and mother would forsake me, like Brother Kevin prayed, but the Lord, you'll take me up. You'll never forsake me. But we feel that way sometimes, and it's so wonderful. If you've ever felt this way, if you've ever been that way, if you're feeling this way now, even though if no one else could understand, even if no one else would come up beside you in your toughest hour, I'm glad, so glad to tell you the Lord Jesus Christ himself will. Hallelujah. It's in those hard times in our lives that it's most often when God chooses to be the nearest to us and let us feel his presence, and oftentimes when he is most intimate with us. And so I know nobody in here is saying, hey, if that's true, send me to the wilderness of affliction. No, of course not, but they just come in life. You're just going to experience those times. In this world, you will have tribulation, right? That's just a fact. I want us to turn to Psalm 132, and I just want you to put your name in here. I want you to put Andy. I want you to put Regina. I want you to put Vicky instead of David here. Put Nathan in there. What a promise. What a great prayer here of the pelican of the wilderness. Lord, remember David and what? And all his what? Afflictions. Did David spend time in the wilderness, Brother Kevin? Yes, the wilderness of En-Gedi. He dwelt in caves as a hunted man. Lies were told about him. He was pursued. His wife, his first wife, was taken away from him, even in some ways betrayed him. These were difficult things. He was taken away from his best friend, Jonathan, as well. Their relationship was severed. David went through many afflictions with his children. Those of you that have gone through very tough things with your children, y'all pray for me that I never have to endure that. But I just know how much I love my children, that you love yours just as much. And when you see them go through things like David did, it grieves the heart. It grieves the heart. But what a wonderful thing that you can call out and say, Lord, remember me in all my afflictions. We think about Israel of old in the wilderness there. That's when God came up so close to them, did so many miracles for them, provided water from the rock. Here's another bird. Use of the birds, the quail, came in and just fell dead right there where they could eat them. Gave them manna, the white stuff that fell from heaven as well. He led them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloudy pillar by day. Their shoes never wore out. Their coats never wore bare. In the wilderness, right? In the wilderness, those things took place. I think about Jesus after the devil had fled away, that the angels came there and comforted him and strengthened him. I think about the Hebrew children in that fiery furnace that the king looks and said, I thought we just threw three guys in there, but I see a fourth, and he's likened to the Son of God. In the furnace of affliction, in the wilderness of affliction, he was there. We think about the Apostle Paul, how he endured so many things that he writes about him, and he said, and no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. The church has often had to make her home in the wilderness. Let's go to the book of Revelation. You all know this verse so well. Revelation chapter 12. Let's put our eyes upon it again and remember what was said here. This dragon comes forth to make war against the remnant of God, right? There's this war in heaven, and they overcame him, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you love that story of victory? And so it says here that, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. This is a spiritually symbolic of Zion, of the church. And to the woman were given what? Two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the what? Into the wilderness, into her place where she is what? Nourished for time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. God is always going to be protecting, sheltering his people, even if they're pelicans in the wilderness. And we often do feel that way. I know that we do. I know many of you have been in those wildernesses of affliction, but you have found the Lord was there, even there, in those dark hours, and that you learn how to lean on Him and trust Him and to find that silver lining coming through. Number two, he says, not only am I like the pelican of the wilderness, this forlorn bird, this aloof bird that doesn't want to be around any of you ever seen those pictures that they show? I'm going to move on to the island in a minute, but of the pelican, it'll show you. The pelican has that very sharp part of his beak at the very end, and when the pelican goes to feed its young, it has all the fish and food in it in that huge beak. And he lifts his beak down, and at the very end of his beak is this very sharp hook, and it's red. And it almost looks like when he puts it up against his breast that he's making himself bleed, and that the younglings are even feeding off of its blood. I've seen pictures of that, and I always wondered about that, and I studied about that, and that's not true. It was neat to kind of, it's just opening its mouth and letting the young feed out of it, and what that red is just that hook that's there, and it looks like blood, but it's not. But it's just a bird that is of that nature. It's kind of a melancholy creature. And so next he says, not only am I like the pelican of the wilderness, I'm like an owl of the desert. So like an owl in an overwhelming. There's, he said, this is the prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. You've ever been there, beloved? You ever been overwhelmed, mothers? I know some of you have been overwhelmed. I've seen my mama, as she's a cooler customer as you'll ever be around. Sister Jude Pitney is, but I've seen mama overwhelmed. Before I've been overwhelmed, it's not anything to feel bad about. It happens to all of us. None of us are islands in ourselves. None of us are just these massive, gargantuan towers of strength that never get overwhelmed. Even the world, the tallest mountains one time were overwhelmed by the waters of the great flood. Amen. Even Christ, we see at Gethsemane, almost feeling overwhelmed by the weight of the sin and of knowing that God was going to turn away from him in a moment as he bore the sins of the family of God, like an owl in an overwhelming desert. There's a little play on words. Hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo is he talking about, right? What does an owl say, Brother Zayden? Hoo-hoo, right? Hoo-hoo is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the people of God. He's talking about himself. Some neat things that I found out about owls is owls do not make their own nest. I never knew that about owls. Owls seek out abandoned places, places that are abandoned or even in an abandoned nest by another bird, and they'll make their nest there. But being overwhelmed, beloved, is powerful in our lives because it causes us to lean on God. Amen. That we realize that like Paul had to learn that his strength, God's strength, was made perfect in his weaknesses. We think about Job. Job had everything that a man could want. He had wealth. He had prominence. He had this huge family. He had a land and security. But it was all taken away. But Job learned and showed us how to lean on the Lord, even in an overwhelming desert. I love this in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I think this is so fitting for us to look at and consider tonight about the saints of old and about ourselves. Sometimes we must not think ourselves so favored of God that we're never going to have to experience any wildernesses of affliction, that we're never not going to have to experience any overwhelming deserts. No, it's not true. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, in this great hall of faith, in verse 38, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. I think about that, Sister Avis, about what you talked about, these saints that have walked before us, that showed us the way, that bore the heat of the day, that stood for the truth and lived it in their lives and passed an example down to the next generation. It says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered where? In deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Yes, they had been there like Esther. Wasn't Esther overwhelmed? She finds out that this man, Haman, has this terrible plan, and he has the ear of her husband. He has the ear of the king and has convinced him on this day to slaughter all of her loved ones. How would y'all like to know that, sisters? Would that overwhelm you tonight, that you found out there's a person with real power that has a plan to kill everybody that you love? You'd be overwhelmed. And then to have your, what was Mordecai, cousin? I'm trying to remember. I think her cousin, right? But he's an older cousin. I always think of Mordecai as an uncle for some reason. But I think they were actually cousin. And he comes to her and said, who knows, but God has called you for such a time as this. We need you to go to the king and beg for him to allow us to defend ourselves. But there's a problem. She doesn't know if she's in favor with the king. And if she goes in unannounced, her life could be forfeit. Here she has this great weight of what happens to her people, but then also that the lot has fallen to her to try to do something about it. And she don't know she's going to be able to do it, right? So she asked Mordecai. She said, you get everybody together, you have the biggest prayer meeting y'all ever had, right? They became some birds of prayer. She was like an owl in the wilderness. And then we think of Jesus at Gethsemane when we hear the Savior cry, oh, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto what? Unto death. Unto death, he said. I need to go forward a little space from even his closest companions. And he went and it says that he fell on his face. He fell forward and he poured out his complaint. He was overwhelmed and he poured out his complaint to God, saying, if it be possible, Lord, could you let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Like an owl in an overwhelming desert. I didn't know this about owls. It was very interesting to me. The way that God designed them, they are able to fly silently. When the way he designed their wings, even when they start up and they accelerate, it's silent the way that God designed them. Is that not even amazing? And I think about that, how that I've seen God's people suffer so beautifully sometime. Oh, I'll remember Brother Sister Avis, Brother Dwight, y'all remember Brother Robert Scott's wife, Linda, and how she suffered with that cancer. And y'all, I was there at her dying breath, and she had, it was that death rattle that she had, think that she was gone, then all of a sudden, and her suffering would continue. But finally, sweetly into the arms of Jesus did she fly. Hallelujah. But she suffered it, and she was like that owl flying silently over her sufferings, even for the glory of God. And wasn't our Lord Jesus like that, like a lamb before shepherds? Shears, he was what? He was dumb. He opened not his what? His mouth, right? Oh, sometimes when we get in affliction, we're so quick to poor mouth, right? So quick to, you know, woe is me and why me? May we be more like the owl of the wilderness. What were owls known for, kind of in folklore, a certain attribute? Anybody read Winnie the Pooh growing up, right? Owls were known for their wisdom. And so one of the things in a desert that makes a desert place so desperate is the lack of water, the lack of something that you need so desperately to sustain life. And so this is why when people who don't know the Lord face times like this, they don't know where to go to find strength. They don't have the wisdom that's from above that knows there's a fountain that is open to all the children of God flowing from the heart of Christ. And so wisdom will lead us to Christ, the fountain, even in the midst of an overwhelming desert. Oh Christ, He is the fountain. Amen. And we read in Psalm 142, if you have a chance to just turn there quickly, Psalm 142 and verse 3. Beautiful expression here. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou knewest my path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that poem about footprints in the sand, right? He said, the psalmist is looking back at the path on the beach, and there was two sets of footprints, and he said, Lord, I saw that you were walking with me, but then you left me, and there was just one set of footprints, and he thought it was his footprints. But what did the Lord say? Oh, that was when I was what, church? He said, that's when I was carrying you. Wisdom will lead us to Christ the fountain. Third, like a sparrow with a lonely complaint, right? He says, I poureth out my complaint before the Lord. I think about Elisha when he was in that cave and Jezebel was trying to hunt him down, right? He said, Lord, just go ahead and take my life because I'm the only one left that loves you, that wants to serve you anymore. God says, shut your mouth. Oh, and by the way, what did God use to feed Elijah in those moments when he was alone? Anybody remember? Yeah, the birds, right? Came and brought him his very food, right? But the Lord said, no, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But this is an unusual thing to be said about a sparrow. He said, I'm like a sparrow. I watch, and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You hardly ever see a sparrow alone. But I was studying about this, and when this occurs, it's kind of a romantic, sweet. When a sparrow loses its mate, it will go away by itself, and it will mourn in a song the loss of its mate. And if you ever see a sparrow alone, that's why that they're alone. And so the psalmist here, no doubt, he's concerned about the condition of his nation. He's concerned about the condition of the church. He might even be concerned about his own soul and life. Even his own health seems to be, in this psalm, at some type of calamity. Because he mentions, you know, my days are like a shadow, and, you know, it looks like I'm going to be cut off. I don't know if that was just the way that he felt because he was so overwhelmed, because you can feel that way sometimes. But no doubt, he said, I feel like I'm all alone in this. And you know, we feel that way sometimes. But, beloved, the devil tries to get us to feel that, but we're not alone. Amen. Like it's been said tonight, we always have the Holy Spirit with us. We always have the Lord. We have the angels also. Remember, I love that when the king of Assyria comes down to try to handle business with Elijah, right? And he surrounds the mountains with his men, and the servant goes out, finish washes his face. He looks and says, oh no, we're in trouble. He runs back inside and he tells him, man, we're surrounded, boss. Nathan Pitney's ad lib. And Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes. And he took him back outside and around the mountainside where the chariots, flaming chariots of God. There's more than is with us than against us, Elijah said, right? Yeah. all we have, our brothers and our sisters, to strengthen us in the way. But no doubt sometimes we are called to solitude. I think about Noah. You know, think about that, Brother Andy. Only 8 souls, all in all of humanity. Man, we the Pitneys get cranky with each other. I'm telling you, it takes 5.5 hours to get from Mississippi to Georgia. 4 hours and 30 minutes into the trip, we're ready to kill each other. Sometimes just in an air-conditioned car with everything that you could want. I can't imagine 40 days and 40 nights on a boat with all the animals in there. Daddy, what have you gotten us into, right? Are we there yet? How many times was that asked, I wonder, on that trip? Alone like Noah, alone like Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? They put him down in that pit just because he loved the people of God and tried to call them to change and not experience the destruction that was coming. And we see our country. Let's go through it. Humanism, evolution, the drugs, the alcohol, the divorce, the destruction of the family, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, pornography. Do I need to go on? It's all around us, and it's like a tidal wave that this generation must stand against. But hallelujah, when the enemy comes in, the Lord raises up a standard against it. Let's be that. Like Jeremiah, like Ruth. Ruth, she left her country. Her husband had died. She went to a stranger in a strange land. Sometimes we're called to solitude. Sometimes we have to be willing to be the only one to stand for the Lord, even if nobody else will. Nobody in our friend group, nobody in our family. What, you got to be willing to post some things on Facebook that nobody's going to like, or that might get you, what do they do to you? I don't even know. They do something to you where they block you or something. Right? I'm like a sparrow with a lonely complaint. And it's especially that way for us when at times we might feel the withdrawn presence of Christ. He's not really gone, but sometimes to make us long for Him, to long for Him and to pursue Him the way that we should, He withdraws some of that felt presence from our lives. I think about this in Galatians 6:4 first. He says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Sometimes God, the things that God brings into our life, they are for us. They're for us to learn. They're for us to go through. God dealing with us individually as well as collectively, but especially when we sense the spouse's removal. Like in the Song of Solomon, remember how the beloved came to the door and he knocked and she said, I've already gone to bed. Don't have time for you, honey. I'm sorry. You know, I put off my clothes, and then he leaves and her heart is broken. It's, what have I done? Why have I treated my beloved like that? And she said, let me go out and seek him. And she went, she goes through the city and she cries, have you seen my beloved? Because she's feeling alone. Like a sparrow with a lonely complaint. Where is my beloved? Have you seen him whom my soul loveth, beloved? How long has it been since you've had that sweet, close intimacy with Jesus Christ? I love this. We sang the song. I'm glad you called out that song, Brother Drew. Matthew 10:29 through 31. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Hallelujah. So these birds of prayer, these birds of prayer, we see a pelican in the wilderness of affliction. We see an owl in an overwhelming desert. We see a sparrow with a lonely complaint, crying upon the housetop for the loss of his companion. But the psalmist would leave us there in Psalm 102, but then turn over to Psalm 103 for our last bird. And this is truly a bird of prey, because now he's likened himself to these other birds, but now listen to what he says in verse 5 of Psalm 103. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the what? Like the eagles. Like the eagles. Like an eagle soaring with renewed strength. I'm talking about being able to go up to some lofty places. Hallelujah. It's not just in the desert that we dwell. It's not just in places of solitude. But did you know that an eagle can soar up to 15,000 feet? Those 747s only get up to about 30,000. An eagle soars up to 15,000 feet. It can see up to 3 kilometers away. This is also romantic about eagles. Did y'all know they mate for life? Eagles mate for life. Oh, aren't you glad that God never leaves us despondent for long, right? But I love that in that song, God moves in a mysterious way. Behind a frowning providence, you know this, don't you? He hides a what? A smiling face. Truly, God is the wind beneath our wings. Amen. Truly, he lifts us up above this low ground of sin and sorrow. And one day, we will fly away to be with him forever. And we love what it says in Isaiah 40 and 31. And we'll close with this, and then we'll sing that good old hymn, Flee as a Bird. Isaiah 40, you know it so well. Probably many of you have it memorized. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.